shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. This is a world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show. And I say entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows continually tell us they wish they could, but they can't. So it is left to us. Good evening and welcome. And we're on in the middle of the night in some of the markets that we are heard, and very, very late in others, because we pursue things into the night. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have on Dr. Ron Tarner, and he'll be talking with us about a project that he's involved in, along with a friend of his fiancée, Elise Haddock, Dr. Haddock, and he responding to, again, this tragedy in Florida. This is topping the news, folks, and there's no real getting away from it. I'm not saying that it's an out of control state of affairs. I think when you look at what has happened, there's been some pretty intelligent and adult response to this. The police chief has stepped down, Bill Lee. There is a federal investigation going on, and today there was a rally in Florida, and there was one as well in New York. For there was actually what they called a Million Hoodie March in New York, but there was a rally in Florida, in Sanford, Florida. And one of the sentiments that was clear here, according to AP, was that the thousands who rallied Thursday night for action in last month's fatal shooting of an unarmed Florida teenager wanted justice. And the civil rights leader, Al Sharpton, helped lead the charge, demanding the arrest of Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman in the death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. So with that in mind, also just one extra note here news-wise, the rally came the same day, and that is today, folks, that we're talking about. So I know that a lot of you are listening to us on a Friday morning back east. We're still talking where I am about it being Thursday. It was Police Chief Bill Lee stepping down today temporarily, he said, to help quell the rising passions surrounding this story. And one individual who's taken a interest in this is Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight. Good to have you, Ron, and good of you to join us. It's not an issue that necessarily we think of when we think of some of the things we've talked with you about, science. But you're a citizen, and so many scientists have involved themselves in social matters over the years.
Phil, that is exactly correct. Here at the state of Colorado, I, along with a great many members of the scientific watchdog committees and the scientific council here in the state of Colorado, we've weighed in on all manner of issues, from the legalization of marijuana to the rulings on habeas corpus and the Patriot Act, even locally here, to issues involving immigrant rights. I've been front and center. You mentioned Dr. Haddock. She's been a longtime friend of mine and associate, and we are engaged to be married. And we both were very moved, you know, by the events in Florida.
To your way of looking at this, it looks like the justice is going to the wheels of justice are turning. The federal government has involved itself. The state of Florida's governor, Rick Scott, has aggressively pursued that himself, and so it seems that the wheels of justice are turning. Does it seem that way to you?
We believe that from the standpoint, Phil, of getting to the bottom of what happened out there, I think that there is as you said, I think there is good momentum. But what I don't think is happening is enough discussion about these self-appointed vigilantes that you and I both know, because I live in a community, and I heard last evening you were discussing gated communities with one or two of your guests. I don't live in a gated community, but I still live in a community that has a homeowners association, and we do have these self-appointed busybodies who are leaving flyers in the mailbox. They will knock on the door and tell you about your garage door being up. I think that's probably one of the most popular complaints of a lot of these homeowners associations.
You know, I had a condominium up until about 3 or 4 years ago before we moved out to the beach here, and that was if there was one thing that I kept getting phone calls and knocks on the doors about, it was the open garage door.
Right. And really, what all it is it's unsightly. They're not talking about it being something that is necessarily unsafe. You have that. So you've got the people who are bothering you about your garage door. And, Phil, I don't want to say that neighbors being good neighbors is a bad thing.
No, not at all.
No, I appreciate my neighbors telling me things of importance. But when it becomes a constant intrusion, and you have these people that think that if they don't do it, then the whole place is going to fall apart. And now we have what happened in Florida. And that is the living end, if you want to put it in as easy a way as you can. That's the end. And so that's when Dr. Haddock and I decided on this statement, which is really about our home, our personhood. We will not be disrupted in living our lives.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about this. Now, you live in a gated community. We're not in a gated community. You live in a community. We don't want to tell anybody where it is. But there is a homeowners association. It's near Denver, right?
Yeah. I live about 15 minutes north of Denver. And I was approached by one of my neighbors, Jeremy Kitten, who asked me about my garage door being open. And this is one of the individuals I mentioned. So what we did today and yesterday, we may extend it into tomorrow, was a very, very extreme statement. And before I tell you what it was, I want your audience to understand, this is how strongly we feel about these nosy, busybody people who at their very extreme are this guy, George Zimmerman.
Okay.
And so we had to make an extreme statement. It was myself, Dr. Haddock, and one of our guests from the university, Dr. Melton, and we were both in the front yard of my home. I have a quarter acre, which is a flat quarter acre. It's a good size yard.
It's very good size.
Yeah, and so the only statement that could be made, and again, what you're trying to say is, this is where I live. This is who I am. And I don't care if you're a police officer or you're just a neighborhood watch vigilante, you will not cross this line. And the statement had to be made in a very extreme way.
All right, so tell us what you did. I mean,
what we basically did is disrobed, and
you were nude.
We had no clothing on. Yes, we were naked. In the front yard, I was doing some yard work. Elizabeth was doing the same thing and doing some moving some plants into pots. And Dr. Melton was in the house, but the three of us had no clothes on. Now, that is a pretty
extreme statement, as well as a provocative statement. In other words, you were looking for a reaction, weren't you?
No, we were not. Now, that's wrong, Phil.
Well, because when I read this, my first thought was you wanted a reaction, you wanted a confrontation.
No, that is a misreading of it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how a reasonable person could come to that conclusion. I'll tell you why. Knowing what the news has been, even if you see someone in on their own property, let me underline that, our own property, and I have no clothes on, you can't really say anything to me because I'm on my own property. And that creates a situation for the busybody neighborhood vigilante who thinks that he's going to tell you when your garage door is open and when this is happening, that is happening. Now, Jeremy Kitten is a guy in our neighborhood.
This is the second time you mentioned this guy. Who is he?
He is one of these, I don't want to call him a neighborhood watch captain. I don't know that we have that per se, but he is a block captain of some kind. I call him what I call him, I can't say on the air, but Elizabeth could probably tell you what I call him, but he's a busybody.
Okay.
And he asked us to put our clothes on, and I said to him, you're aware of what's happening in Florida, aren't you, Jeremy? He said, to some extent I am. I said, well, I guess what? When you read a newspaper and when you get educated on what's happening to our young people, what's happening to our homes, what's happening to our freedoms, what's happening to our privacy at the hands of these self-appointed vigilantes and these neighborhood watch people. When you finally educate yourself on that, that's when I put on a pair of pants. But I'm not going to do it until then.
And was there a confrontation of some kind? Because I understand...
He called the police. The police came out. At that point, I made my point and decided, retire the field and claim victory, which is what we did.
So you went back in the house and put on some clothes.
Yes, but we're going to be back out there tomorrow, and we will be out there for as long as these vigilantes think they can run my life and the lives of so many Americans with their little vigilante patrols rolling around the streets of quiet neighborhoods, pulling guns on innocent people and taking lives. Well, if that's what they get to do, then we will protest that in admittedly an extreme manner, but nonetheless, I think, articulate manner. I will remove my clothing and stand on my property and see what they think about that.
All right, Dr. Ron Turner is with us. Doctor, hang on.
I certainly will, Phil.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. So there is Dr. Ron Turner. As all over the country, people are responding to what this terrible event in Florida meant. Some people believe it's a matter having to do with race relations. Some people believe it's a matter having to do with police. In the case of Dr. Turner, it's an issue that he has with the self-appointed vigilante neighborhood watch guy. And he and his fiance have responded by trying to provoke something between themselves and their neighborhood watch captain, disrobing and standing in their own yard and on their own property to see what happens. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we'll be right back. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com as well.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
We did that, huh?
Oh, we did. As the police talk to us.
Welcome back here. We're on the line with Dr. Ron Turner, and we're discussing with him the issue of vigilante neighborhood watch people. People, the busybodies in the neighborhood. People that are constantly... And I don't know how prevalent that is, you know?
Well, first of all, Phil, it's more prevalent than you might think. And it happens in every neighborhood. You don't have to be part of a homeowners association. This happens in every neighborhood where there's one or two people who are looking at all the cars driving down the street, are looking at strange people that they may think are strange. It could be a relative of yours. It could be a person who is a. It could be someone who is a friend of yours. It could be an individual who is a workmate of yours, but these people will be taking notes, calling the police, and so forth. So my sense is that the only way to do battle with them, and now ultimately they killed a young man.
And well, they killed this man, George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman was the trigger, but the neighborhood watch groups across America are the ones that killed this boy.
How can you say that? I mean, that's a pretty extreme statement. Most neighborhood watch groups are simply there to protect.
I'm sure that they have all kinds of wonderful things to say about themselves, but look what the neighborhood watch program has done. It's resulted in this. And I am now saying, I'm turning it around, and I'm saying, if that's what you think you're going to do, then I am going to make a statement, and that is, I'm on my own property, I'm not wearing any clothes, which is, as you said, Phil, is very provocative.
Yeah, it's provocative. And you had the police come out there, didn't you?
I didn't know. Mr. Kitten called them.
Okay. And what did they say?
Well, when they came out, we had our clothes on. And Kitten tried telling them that we had been naked, and I said, well, No, we weren't. And apparently he had taken pictures. And so the police officer said, well, what are these? And I said, all right, we were naked, but we're not naked now. And
well, was that the plan? In other words, to harass this man, Kenton?
Yeah, it was to make the statement to these neighborhood watch people that your time is past, that you have pushed your way around the neighborhoods of America, that you've been sticking your nose into people's private business long enough, that you have been meddling in affairs that are none of your business, that you have used the homeowners associations to empower you, and now we've got at least one death, and I don't know, maybe more.
877, maybe more, I doubt it. I doubt that.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? I doubt that.
Well, I seriously doubt that with the neighborhood watches of America, people that are just banding together to make sure that creeps aren't in the neighborhood, I don't know that we've got a whole lot of guns being wielded out there. I could be wrong.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you are wrong, because one of the things that we found out yesterday and today, when I stripped and went into my yard, was there is a very high level of anger. And Mr. Kent himself, while I did not see, obviously I didn't see a gun, but I wouldn't doubt it if he was going to go into a yard, go and get a gun and come onto my yard. You remember the shotgun killing of that man in Houston?
Well, I remember they were two guys that were burglarizing a house, okay, and that man came out of his house, and he saw them, and he killed these men, correct?
No, I don't remember anything about burglarizing a house. It was two African-American men who happened to be minding their own business, and some old white man, came out of his house and loaded up two barrels and emptied both of them into these guys. And
no, that's not the case.
Well, then you're reading a different news story than me.
No, I'm not. The story in Houston was...
So if you're making an argument in defense of these people that just wield guns in an irresponsible way...
No, I'm not. I'm making a defense in favor of getting the story right. The story was, because I remember the story, I've even got the audio. This man saw out his window individuals that I believe had been inside of a house, had been ransacking a house or otherwise had burgled a house, I don't know what, but they'd been in the house. Now, I'm not defending this guy.
Well, you most certainly are.
No, I am not. I'm just telling you what the facts of this case were, that these guys came outside. Now, the guy, the dispatcher told him, don't you do anything. Stay in your house. We're rolling police officers. They're going to be there. This guy, I remember him saying distinctly, I'm going to get my shotgun. I'm on my way out the door.
Well, I do remember that. But what you're missing is he killed two men in cold blood who happened to just be taking a walk and taking the afternoon air.
Oh, no, they weren't. No, they weren't. You got that wrong. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show's. We're talking about vigilante justice and the destructive nature of it sometimes when individuals involved are not responsible. And really that's what we're discussing, because there's a difference. There was that guy in Houston who was not adhering to the instructions of the dispatcher, but these two guys were in point of fact criminals. There's the guy here in Sanford, Florida, who just was completely off his ass. And everything in between. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go over to Vernon in Glendale this evening. Vernon, how are you? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. You're on the line here with Dr. Ron Turner.
Yeah, Phil. I've got Dr. Turner. I've spoken with you before.
Yes, sir.
And I'm an educator in California.
Yes, sir.
When you say that you're taking your clothes off, you're going outside and you're stripping. You said that you have your girlfriend or your fiance.
Yes, I do.
Do you not at all? Are you concerned, sir, about her safety?
In what way?
The fact that she's a female.
I told her, as I tell you, Elise is a friend of mine. She's my fiance. I love her. But if she's going to be in my life, she has to be a part of my life all the way. When I told her that we were going to make this statement about being our own people, and I said that I was going to disrobe and that I wanted her to do the same, and Jim Belt would be here too, I meant it.
So you told, is this something that makes she has to do, Otherwise, you're not engaged.
It's something that I told her I wanted her to do as part of our engagement.
I've got a lot more questions, sir.
All right, hang on the line, Vernon. We'll be back with you and Dr. Ron Tarner. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show, talking about vigilantes and are they out of control? Are neighborhood watch groups out of control? And are you a member of one, and do you agree or disagree? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after these announcements. PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You know, Bud, you can put people on hold. Put that on hold for a minute. You hear how nosy that... Noisy. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but you get everybody ready.
You can get everybody ready to get on the air, but we don't need to have the noise from their phones. We'll get back. We have one caller hanging on here with Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, as we discuss the neighborhood vigilante, the neighborhood watch, the sort of the self-appointed posse. You know the types. And are they frustrated cops? Are they guys that tried to join the force and they didn't pass the psych test? Are they guys that tried to join the force, made it, and then were injured? What are we talking about here when we talk about these guys? We have Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us here from Mountain Meadow, and we also have a caller on the line, Vernon. And, Vernon, you were asking the doctor a question, and we had to take a break. I don't know. What is that behind you there?
That's some kind of a car alarm, Phil.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, no. I mean, I was just asking Dr. Tarner that you have a fiancé, and you have insisted that she, I guess, disrobe with you. Is that it?
I have insisted. That is a personal matter between myself and her.
I'm not trying to pry. I just wanted to know the
I think any woman that is going to spend her life with a man, or vice versa, you're going to be interested in what they're interested in. You're going to want to commit yourself to what they are committed to. And so I've asked Elise, and we have Dr. Belton helping us, that when we do this yesterday and today, basically disrobing and spending the day in the front yard or the backyard of our home with no clothes on, is to make a statement to these vigilantes like Jeremy Kitten, some of the others in our neighborhood, that we will not be bowed. We will continue each day to remove our clothes, to live our lives, to be the people that we want to be, and we're not going to work. We're not going to be in fear any longer, which I think is the most important message.
Right. But I think what you're not, what you didn't hear me is.
It, no, I think I heard you.
No. What you didn't hear me is you have your woman, your fiance, and she. Had,
you know that car alarm. Is there a way you can move somewhere else?
I can't move anywhere else, Mr. Henry. I'm out on the street here. I'm waiting for my own wife to get out of a show. I came to pick her up. And it's someone's car alarm.
It is very distracting.
I'm sorry, but...
Go ahead.
I'm here on the street, for instance, doctor, and I'm waiting for my wife. And I would never let my wife walk to a car alone. I would never let her...
I would never let my wife do that.
No, but you've got her naked out on a street.
She's not naked out on the street, sir. She's making a statement, a political statement.
Did you say she's doing yard work?
Yes, she's doing yard work.
Well, if you're doing yard work, there's a fair amount of bending over that you're doing. And there is a...
Well, you know, let's get to it here. Are you saying that you sure wish you lived next door to me?
No, I didn't say that at all.
There's no point in insulting the guy.
No, but he's insulting me. Talking about my girlfriend bending over. Look,
well, you also have another man there. So there's two of you and one of her. And I could, if I were a neighborhood individual or neighborhood watch individual, however you want to put it, that's exactly what I would be thinking. Is this is a very weird and very it's a very disturbing situation with you and another man, and you're all hanging out together there in the yard. you know, doing what, I don't know. I mean, doing laundry or doing yard work or...
Well, we're not all doing laundry or yard work or hanging out in the yard. We're, you know, she's doing yard work. I'm sitting in a chair, and so is Dr. Belton. And
what are you doing sitting in the chair?
Well, you know what? That's none of your business. You know?
Well, no, wait. This is a fair question. What are you doing? You're sitting. Are you? You said you're trying to provoke a confrontation, correct?
Yeah. You're trying to provoke people.
We are wearing sandals. We have on socks. We are naked, and we're wearing straw hats. And we chose that wardrobe because we knew it would be provocative.
Yeah, and I can tell because that's exactly how French tourists dress, who are who don't wear clothing.
Exactly.
So you do want to create a some sort of a confrontation.
All right, now hold on for a minute because you're losing me. You guys, you were out there, Dr. Tarner, naked in your yard, dressed like a French tourist.
No, President.
This is how French tourists.
Excuse me, I can do it if you don't mind.
I was just going to tell them this is how French tourists dress.
I'll do it. When French tourists come to the United States or any other country and they insist on taking their clothes off, they do it in such a way so as to irritate even the most liberal American. In the case of the French, the men will wear sandals with socks, completely nude all the way to the top of their head, and then a big straw hat. Now, that would irritate the most liberal and supportive American. Supportive, I say, of public nudity.
And yeah, as you describe it,
it bothers you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, if I saw a guy dressed like that, I'd want to kick his ass. I don't know why.
Well, and I would, too, but and I'm very liberal.
All right, hold on for a minute, because I've got Jay Santos on the line. He's a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in Southern California. Now, we had him on the phone here not too long ago, like two nights ago. And, Jay, you are hearing what people are saying here, right?
I am, Phil, and it is a very sobering and very disturbing conversation you're having.
Who's this gentleman?
My name is Jay Santos, one of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right, I've heard you, Mr. Sand. Mr. Santos.
Jay Santos.
Mr. Santos, I've heard you on this program before, and I've heard you. You're the epitome of what we're talking about, a guy that pushes his weight around, muscles everybody.
And I don't believe we've had the pleasure.
No, sir, we have not. My name is Jay Santos. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. To the point the gentleman just made, I did not muscle nobody.
You don't muscle nobody. Where are you from?
Excuse me? I come from Torrance, California.
All right, well, are you
I'm not a vegetarian.
No, he was going to say a vegetarian.
You know, Phil...
Can we grow up a little bit here? That was uncalled for.
I apologize.
All right, and I heard what the gentleman said. And I think that what you're saying, sir, is essentially this. Every time someone brings up the fact that a man is nude, they become infantile. This Dr. Tarner, who said he wanted to provoke a confrontation in his own yard. You're naked, you're on your own property, and yet you know that at some point, if I live in your neighborhood, I got to look at that.
What do you mean you got to look at that?
I have to look at you, I have to look at your girlfriend, I have to look at your friend, this Dr. Melton, who I find that to be very weird. Very weird.
And what is weird about this? Excuse me for just a minute.
Well, come on, we got to move on.
No, hold on. What is weird about that?
The fact that you're sitting in your yard and your girlfriend, and here's this guy Melton. He's like an X factor.
Dr. Melton is a research fellow at the University of Denver.
Okay, so he's a fellow.
No, he's a research fellow. He's a friend of mine.
But I think what Mr. Sanderson is saying, or not, I'm sorry, excuse me, Santos is saying.
His name is Santos.
Right. I think what he's saying is that there's a missing link here. You got this guy Melton. The two of you are sitting in folding chairs with no clothes. Your girlfriend's in the backyard bending over and planting things.
Yeah, I'll bet. She's not the only one planting things.
How dare you?
Well, you walked right into it, sir.
Okay, let's grow up.
No, I didn't walk into anything. How dare you?
Well, sir, I was asking because I wanted to know if your girlfriend, I'll say it, is Melton planning something.
Okay, you know something?
That was uncalled for, but it was funny.
Thank you.
No, it wasn't funny and it wasn't called for. And I find, Mr. Henry, this is the kind of program that you're doing.
Hold on for a minute, because Mr. Santos had called the program wanting to draw some kind of an analogy. And I'm not exactly sure what the analogy was. I'm not exactly sure if it was anything that it was anything anybody was going to understand. But you were saying that one bad apple.
That is exactly right, Mr. Henry. And that's what we were trying to say to the news media today. One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch. And if you were looking at Neighborhood Watch or you're looking at Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Oh, brother.
Well, you can say old brother if you want to, sir.
Well, we say one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch. I have news for you.
May I finish, please?
Sir, I have news for you that one bad apple did spoil the bunch.
May I finish, please?
Go ahead, but I agree with the doctor that you got a bad apple out in Florida, and everything stinks from that one apple. Every apple is now fetid, rank, corrosive, and rotten.
Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm only talking to just keep it from being dead air. Be right there, Mr. Henry.
Let me handle that. Go ahead and finish.
One bad apple is a very simple concept, which means you do not judge everyone on actions of one bad apple. That was why I had play that song, Mr. Henry. Do you have that? Or? There it is, yeah.
This is the song that Mr. Santos had asked you to get, bud.
Yeah, it's called One Bad Apple Don't Spoil Your Bunch.
Can you gentlemen hear this? Can you hear this, sir?
Yes, I can hear it.
And what about this, the other guy, this Dozier, whatever your name is?
My name is Vernon Dozier, sir. I'm a high school teacher. I'm not out with a pith helmet and walking around in my bare feet or whatever you do.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can hear it. Oh, jeez.
Well, you can say what you want, but this is a song that...
All right, we don't need to hear the whole song, do we?
Yeah, we gotta hear it.
Get out of here, bud. Who's asking you?
Mr. Henry, first of all, can we have a little bit of respect for the Mormon faith? Because these are individuals who are members of the Church of the Latter-day... Of the Church of the... I'm sorry. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day.
Of Latter-day Saints.
Is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
You know, we've completely lost the topic here. What we were discussing. Will you turn that down, bud, please?
Mr. Henry, Mike, no. One bad apple, don't spoil it. Here it is here.
Why does everything got to come down to a song with you? And there's a few... Oh.
Right there. Oh! Don't give up on me, see? Everything...
All right, we're going to take a break and get this show under control or just walk out tonight, man. Unreal. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. Should all neighborhood watch groups be judged basic? Should all neighborhood watch groups be judged on the basis of one guy, this Zimmerman, and his horrific acts? 877-877. I'm going to kick your ass, bud.
Sorry.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Man, I don't want to hear that again.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, the neighborhood vigilante, and what they represent to us is what our discussion is about here tonight. And I do appreciate the gentlemen calling in, Mr. Dozier and Mr. Santos, but we are talking to our guest now, Dr. Ron Tarner, about his action.
You call it an action, but I think it was a act of profanity to strip down and then try to provoke people by wearing sandals and a hat.
Well, you know,
look, hold on for a minute, Dr. Turner. Mr. Dozier, I thank you. Mr. Santos, are you there? Mr. Santos.
I'm not here now. I didn't hang up, but I wanted the illusion to be that I hung up. Because I stopped talking a long time ago.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm not even talking to you.
Okay, so you're gone, right?
I'm gone, yes.
Bye.
But I didn't mean literally.
And,
I'm not a doctor. I'm a...
Okay, Dr. Turner, you're there?
Yes, I'm right here, Phil. And may I say, I appreciate you having me on your program, but you have very little control, it sounds, over your callers.
No, I happen to know both of those men. They're newsmakers, they're contributors, and that's why I wanted them to talk, one of them being a Citizens Auxiliary Police guy. 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray also joining us here from Santa Monica in a moment to talk a little bit about this. What do you got, bud?
Yeah, Mr. Grover.
And we had Mrs. Grover on here last night, so I don't know the purpose of this.
Well, I know this Larry Grover's mother. I know her. And the only reason why I know her is because I've done some, did some seminars with seniors and some senior work out in California last summer.
Okay, let's get her on the line. Ms. Grover, how are you, dear?
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Oh, I'm listening to, Ron, how are you?
Mrs. Grover, I'm wonderful. It's great to speak with you. And how is your son?
Well, Larry is Larry. There's no rhyme or reason to him. And
you're still having a problem with him, huh?
Well, he's sexually inactive, and
well, that's not why we're talking here tonight.
No, I understand that, Phil. I'm sorry, but Ron and I had talked about Larry from last summer, right, Ron?
We had, yeah, and I had talked about maybe introducing him to my sister.
Yeah, and I guess.
We don't need to discuss that right now because we're in the middle of a whole other discussion. And I know that, Mrs. Grover, you have been a homeowner there in Culver City, and you and your husband, before he passed on, both of you members of a homeowners association there.
We were members, Phil. When Dean died, which is Larry's father, and I obviously took over the house and the mortgage and everything. And Larry has been very angry because he's not on the title to the house and will not be on the title to the house until 7 years after my death.
Why is that, if you don't mind me asking you?
Well, the reason for that, Ron, is Larry needs to prove his manhood. So even though he's a man in his 40s, he's going to have to wait 7 years.
You're going to make him wait? Who owns the house?
It's going to be left to my sister.
Is she the same age as you?
Yes, and she could very well die the same year as me, which means the house goes to the state.
But you'd rather it go to the state than to Larry?
Yes, absolutely. Now, this ties in, Phil, because Larry was our neighborhood watch captain here for a number of years when he first moved in with me. And because of the psychological issues involved with Larry not being on title to the house, the psychological issues with Larry losing, you know, Marcy leaving with the girls, and all of those, Larry became very aggressive as our block captain. He roughed up a couple of Mexican kids, and he was, you know, canvassing door to door for McCain at the time. And I said to him, Larry, you can't do that.
All right. So just to kind of cut through to the chase here.
I am cutting through to the chase.
No, you're not. I mean, so Larry was out of control.
No, he was doing what we wanted him to do.
You wanted him to go out there and rough up Mexicans.
At the time, we felt it would keep him off the street, figuratively. It would keep him out of our hair. But then he began taking it very seriously, and he wanted to join the Minutemen and this kind of thing.
I don't understand this at all. So you felt that him going out and bothering a bunch of strangers in the neighborhood was a good thing?
Well, I can understand if you felt that he psychologically needed that.
Yes, he did, because he was bothering us. But once McCain was elected, McCain was defeated, and we no longer had any need for, Larry's political activities. I just told Larry to stop doing what he was doing, go back to his conservative Kern County.
So he's out there roughing up Mexicans?
Yes, at my direction.
Well, that's racist.
No, it's not, Phil. I needed him. It was either that or he was going to be in the house here spying on me while I was taking a bath.
Oh, my God.
That's right. And
So why is it that he is walking around and he's not in jail, your son?
I've tried many times to have Larry turn himself in.
Turn himself in? I'm talking about why don't you have him arrested?
I can't do that, Phil. If I had Larry arrested, and incarcerated. That means he's going to eventually try to break out. And if he breaks out, then the neighborhood, everyone, myself included, no one's safe.
You know, I don't know what the relationship is between you and your son and what's happened to his mind ever since he lost his wife and his daughters and all this stuff, but I think he needs a doctor.
You know, I don't know anything about this guy you're talking about. I know what you've told me, dear.
But my son.
No, I know that, but...
The guy is crackers, and thank you very much, Mrs. Grover, but I got to keep on keeping on here, okay?
What does that mean?
It means I got to get off of this dopey topic about your son, and let's start moving on to talking about vigilantes.
Why don't you blow it out?
You see what I'm saying right there?
What did she say to you?
She was going to tell me to blow it out my you-know-what. There's something wrong with that whole family. Ron Tarner, thank you, sir, for being with us on our hour here as we discuss neighborhood vigilantes, whether they are good, whether they are bad. Are you going to be naked tomorrow?
We will be naked tomorrow, Phil, starting at 10. I will have no clothes on until 4 or 5. We'll go in and have supper, and then we will return out until about 8 o'clock, whenever it gets dark. And we will have no clothes on, and Jeremy Kitten and all the other neighborhood vigilantes could come out and try to tell me to put on some underwear, and it'll be interesting to see whether you actually get me to slip into a pair of, you know...
Underwear.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much, Ron.
Phil.
Whatever.
We'll be right back.